Why I bring all these Bibles with me so that I look spiritual. Okay. All right. God is good. Father, we thank you for this day. This is a day you have made. We're glad in it. We're glad because Jesus has done everything for us and in us and through us. So we're at peace. We're at rest. We have no more work. We have no more striving. We're at peace because the law was not made for a righteous man, but for the sinners only. So we thank you, Father, you've already done that in us. You've already convicted us today of our sin, and you've already loved us unconditionally and forgiven us, but you're also in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. So we thank you for that, Father. We thank you that our warfare is over, that we have no more things to worry about, to be concerned about. We pray about everything, and you take care of it. And we're just like little children, just trusting that our parent, our mom and dad, is going to take care of us. And so we thank you for that, and we just love you so much, Lord. We love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. Everything that is within us, we love you, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. Why? Because it's a promise, not because we can do it, but it's a promise. And so we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Peggy called me this morning. She wanted me to tell everybody that the wedding went well. I don't know what that means, but I'm just passing it on. I don't know who got married. I don't know anything about it. I'm just passing that information on because she told me to tell you that. So anyway. That's good. I don't need to know. And what else? Oh, yeah, don't forget next week we're having the meeting for the children's church, and it'll be really good. And Leah's going to do a lunch. I don't know what that, it'll be healthy probably, so if you don't like healthy food, don't come. No. No. You have to come. Because it's going to be good. And I will tell you what Jesus is doing in that thing. So God is good. All right, I want to turn to, I don't even know where I'm turning, to, I think it's 1 Kings maybe. But anyway, oh, I got it written down. I'm going to look in my notes. It is, no, I don't have it written down. Well, anyway, it's a really good scripture. No, I'm just kidding. It's talking about, where is it? I must have forgot to. I forgot to write it down. But anyway, it's talking about. Let me see if I can find it. I think I did find it. Yeah. No, that's not it. I even had it underlined. Tell you what it is. If I knew, I would tell you. No, it's about. About God promises to Israel. You know what? And it was talking about, it was Solomon that was saying it. So where would that be? Does anybody know that? Anyway, today we're going to talk about God's promises. We're going to talk about the promise, which is Jesus. Jesus came to fulfill or to confirm all the promises that God made. So when Abraham believed God and it was accounted him for righteous, he was looking forward to what Jesus did. And if you had, we were talking about this Monday night, if one word to describe Christianity, there's lots of them, but the particular one we talked about was promise. If it's a promise, then there's nothing you can do about it. Because he talked about how we're the, God's the promisor, the one making the promise, and so he's given us the right or the ability or the wherewithal inside of us to receive that promise through Jesus Christ. So every promise of God, every promise is yes and amen. There's no promise that God's withheld from us. He promised us eternal life. We got eternal life. He promised us a good marriage, then we got a good marriage. You don't have to even look. He promised us that we wouldn't have the diseases of Egypt. that we would, that he would take care of all of our diseases, then that's it. You don't have to look. You don't have to check it out, make sure it's going to be, it's the way God says it is. And that's the way we live as Christians. You live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word, every word, every word. So whenever God says something, that's it. And that's what a promise is. A promise is what God has said. And when God says it, it's done. So in the New Testament, I had that awesome Old Testament verse. I'm going to find it, but maybe not today. Might not find it today. So everybody turn your Bibles to Galatians. And there's tons of scriptures. I want to talk a little bit about the contrast between promise and the elements or the rudiments of the world. It's kind of an interesting verse. It actually does mean law. The elements of the world is the law. The rudiments of the world are the law. But they're different kinds of laws. There's all kinds of laws. There's civil, there's governmental laws, there's local laws, there's statutes, there's all kinds of laws. But the rudiments of the world are laws that you've actually, in a way, you've made them up yourself. But it's the rudiments of the world. In other words, the world always has laws, always. I don't care what religion you're in. My sister, I talked to my sister yesterday, and her sister-in-law, is that right? Yeah. Their religion is the evil eye. I have no idea what that is exactly. I thought that was funny. So they believe in the evil eye. I have no idea what that is. I was like, really, the evil eye? That's awesome. But anyway, that religion has a law to it. Every religion does. It has some kind of something you have to do to participate in that religion. But Christianity does have no law. We literally have no law. All we have is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So when we read our Bibles, all of us in this room, when we read our Bibles, we read it by the Spirit, not by the letter. So everything you read in the Bible, you got to twist it, turn it to where it's good for you, which it is. It's always good for you. Even the correction, even the chastisement. In the world, you have trouble. In the word trouble in the Greek means mother-in-law. I looked it up. It doesn't mean that. It does not mean that. It does not mean that. But it could. As a matter of fact, that's where Leah is right now because we have trouble at the house. So when you're in trouble, your wife has to take care of it while you do your stuff. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. In the world, you have trouble, but be of good cheer. And most of our trouble comes from our own elements, our own rudiments of the world. In the Bible, it's almost the whole Bible. It is basically the whole Bible is about those two things, law versus gospel. I know you guys hear that all the time, so I'm not preaching anything different or new. But really, the whole Bible is about that. You either live under the rudiments of this world, the elements of this world, you're subject to this world, or you're subject to Jesus Christ. So that's how Jesus overcame the world. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, that's all there is. There's nothing else. Literally, there's nothing else. But not us, because we've been transformed out of that kingdom, that kingdom into a new kingdom, a different kingdom. A kingdom that has a king, and his name is Jesus, who takes care of everything, who dies for us, he resurrects for us, he's seated at the right hand of the Father for us, he's ever living to make intercession for us. It says in Hebrews, he's a high priest perpetually. It's not like the high priest used to be, like through Aaron. Aaron was a temporal priest. He was set up just temporary. It wasn't eternal. He said it. God set that up to be a type of the real thing up in heaven. The real tabernacle's in heaven. It's not here on earth. People are trying to find the Ark of the Covenant and all that stuff. That's interesting, but no, I don't care about that because it's in heaven. It's a heavenly thing. It's not an earthly thing. It's a heavenly thing. So, and that's where we're seated too. We're seated in the place of Christ. Yeah, so we're actually there already. We're actually, whatever God made you when you got born again, you're already there. You don't have to not be there. You're there. So everything God has done is just a promise. I promised Walter that I will never leave him or forsake him. Well, that's, you can take that to the bank. It's done. You don't have to worry about it, not think about it. It's done. Jesus is never going to leave Walter or forsake him. I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Everything is a promise from God. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, in Galatians, talks about that. That's all promise. There's no law to it. There's no law to those things. Against such things, there is no law. So if you have love, it's from God. God is love. So love is something you cannot understand. You can't explain it. You don't know anything about it. You just have it because God gave it to you. You have joy, joy unspeakable, unspeakable, and full of glory because God gave it to you for as a promise, because he promised it to you. Amen. He said, Susie, I'm going to give you everything, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So here, I got this for you. And all you got to do is read about it in the Bible. It's right there. So you read it and you say, wow, that's a good promise. So all my promises are yes and amen. So I have everything. I have everything I need. All my needs are met through Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God who always leads me in triumph. Amen. And all you do is you respond to that. In the morning I wake up, hallelujah! And I'm happy. And I've already shouted unto God with the voice of victory. Why do I do that? Because it says it in the Bible. In Psalms, it says, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. And so God's did everything. So immediately, but I don't shout that loud because then I'll wake my mother-in-law up and then I have trouble. So I don't do that. I'm just teasing. Gosh, I'm going to go to hell if I stop talking. I better stop talking like that. But so I do that because I like to start in victory. That's why I like it when, let's say you record a sports event, sporting event like hockey or baseball or football or whatever sport you like, and you already knew the outcome. Some people don't like that. I like that. I always like to know the outcome before I watch it. Then I can relax and just watch it. But that's like the Bible. We've already read it. Amen. Right, David? Cooper? Yes. We've already read it, right?
Yes.
So we know the end. We know the end from the beginning. So you can relax. You can be at peace because you know who's going to win. You know Jesus has already got Jesus has gotten us to victory, and we're just walking in it. And even though in the world we have trouble, because God wants us to live by faith, because the just shall live by faith. So we're living by faith. So we don't see it exactly, except with the spiritual eye we see it, but we don't see it really. And we have the victory and everything like that, but we don't see it exactly. But we know we have it. And we know we've read the book. We know at the end, the wicked will all be crushed and destroyed, which is great because I love. Lee and I were talking about movies the other day, and I go, golly, Leah, I like movies that have violence and revenge in them. Just do. And so the kids, Shannon, she just graduated from high school. We had a big party for her last. It was really fun. The Pipers were there, and Larry and Barbara were there, and a lot of people were there. It was fun. So I had this party for her, and anyway, her and Mathen wanted me to watch this movie with them, so I agreed to it. I said, okay. Usually I don't like watching, you know, too much stuff, but the movie was actually kind of, I don't know if you guys ever seen it. It's called John Wick. It was so violent. But they killed his dog. And they stole this car. This car was awesome. It was a Mustang. It was like a muscle car. This thing was awesome. And so he was a hitman, a former hitman, and the Russians came, the Russian mafia stole this car. And they were just mean to him. They didn't know who he was. And then they killed his dog just for the fun of it. And that dog his wife gave him before she died. She died of cancer, and he loved that dog. So when they killed his dog, you could just see it in his eyes. Those guys are dead. So the Russian guys took this car. I'm just telling you a little bit about it because I'm just kind of relate this to Jesus because they took the car to this chop shop. But this guy was real famous for doing that. And he goes, where'd you get that car? And they go, oh, and he knew it was John Wick's car, and he just was like, oh my, oh my. You guys are dead. This guy's like the best hitman in the world. And then they called the guy who stole the car, his dad was the head of the Russian mafia. So he called his dad, he told him what he did, and then the guy called the chop shop, the dad did, and they said, oh, it was John Wick's car. And so the Russian guy, the dad, goes, oh no. So anyway, he ends up killing them all, and it was awesome. I thought, man, yeah, these guys deserve it. They deserve everything they get. But because, you know, God's like that. He's vengeful. No. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I don't know why I like movies like that. It's just crazy. But God is good. And God confirmed all of his promises. All of his promises are confirmed through Jesus Christ. So when Jesus died on the cross, all of his promises were come to fruition. That means eternal life, joy unspeakable and full of glory, love for the neighbor, everything. Everything. If God's given you, it says in Romans chapter 8, this is a verse that God gave me for my daughter, Shannon. We had some words for her. She graduated, and that was one of the verses that God gave me, was that if God has freely given you Jesus Christ, he freely gives you all things. So if you have Jesus, and if not just born again, but if you have focus, if you're going from glory to glory, your eyes are on Jesus all the time, and that's all you need, that's all you want, that's all you care about, then God will give you everything else. But if you care about something else, an idol, a child, husband, a wife, a mother-in-law. No, you would not have that idol. But if you had an idol, then you have an idol. Then that's your God. If that's why the Bible says you got to hate mother, you got to hate father, you got to hate da da da. It doesn't mean you hate them. It just means they're not God. They're not God. So, but if you have Jesus. Somebody said to us yesterday, they go, gosh, you guys just make being parents so look so easy. Because I was, you know, sitting out and all my, we had the party at my brother-in-law's house. And they have a really nice house with a swimming pool, and they have a really nice landscape and furniture and all that. So I was just relaxed. And my kids were all in the pool playing, you know, all six of my kids and all their kids. So it was like, the pool was like completely full of all parishes. So... And I was just sitting there watching them play and stuff. And I was holding my little baby Emma. Emma's my favorite. She's a little girl. Anna's a little girl. She's my favorite granddaughter. Because she's my only granddaughter. But she's awesome. But it's not really. It's just that Jesus made a promise. He said, all your kids will be taught of the Lord. And then the great will be their peace and all that stuff. There's tons of promises in the Bible about stuff like that. And it doesn't even matter how much I mess up. If you believe the promise, you have liberty to mess up, because you will mess up. In the world, you have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And the Bible says that if you've got Jesus, he freely gives you all things. So the everything else that God gave you, you don't have to worry about, because you have to keep your eyes on Jesus, and that's your 24/7 job. 365 days a year, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of your faith. He began a good work in you, he'll finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So you're always focused on him, and then the life that you have in Christ Jesus overflows to everything else. Your marriage, your kids, your church, your country, it overflows to everything. And so you have no worries. You actually cast all your cares on the Lord. Pray about everything. Pray without ceasing. Pray, pray, pray. Every time a problem comes up, I just pray. You just pray, 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 pray. And you give it all to God, and God takes care of it. But people don't believe that. They think, well, I got to do something. I got to apply this biblical principle to my life, which is not true. That's an element of the world. If you apply a biblical principle to your life without Jesus, then you're under a law. Then you're under stress. You're under obligation. You got a burden now. Now you got a big burden that you never gave to Jesus. Jesus never told you to do it. He never told you to take an element of this world or a rudiment of this world and apply it to your life. Because that's what it means. Those are laws. And we'll read it here in a second. Let's go to Colossians. Because God never intended you to be anything, because He's everything. And He will do everything for you, in you, and through you. He's actually done everything already. You know, you're created in Christ Jesus unto good works already. Now I need to start writing these scriptures down. I'm bad. I'm not a very good teacher at all. Okay, I got it. Where is it? Man, I am just lost. It's in Colossians. Okay, let's start in chapter 2, verse 1. For I would have you know what great conflict I have for you and for them that are in Laodicea, and for many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love, and unto all riches and the full assurance of the understanding of the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you through enticing words, for through the absence of the flesh, though I am absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joined and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ, our Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Philosophy is a vain deceit. It says right there, and a vain deceit. After the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. A rudiment is everything that's not Jesus. A rudiment is psychology, demonic, evil, socialism, sociology. All the ologies of this world are evil. I'm sorry, they just are. All the evil eye and all the cults and all the religions of this world are evil. Whatever makes a religion is evil. It's another religion. It's the same. They're all the same, but it's still, because they're all under a law. They're all under obligation. They're all under the rudiments of the world. Rudiments of the world are anything you trust in this world that's not Jesus. Eating right could be a rudiment, could be a law. You can make a law out of food. It says in the Bible you can. You can make a law out of family. You can make a law out of your religion. You can make a law out of anything. Or the way you look, you know, cosmetics, pretty, being pretty and all that kind of stuff. You can make a law out of that. You can make a law out of anything. Okay. For in him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete, you're already complete, in him which is the head of all principality and power, and in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Because you're circumcised, not in the flesh, but in your heart. So God's cut all your flesh out. So you're no longer you, you're a new you. You're a new creation you, and the old man is dead. Even though it's still alive, it's dead. Even though it got cut off, it's still there. It still wants to live. Because of your habits. You got bad habits. You got bad flesh. Your flesh can never be sanctified. It can never grow. It can never be anything. Your flesh is just flesh. Even if it looks like it's awesome flesh, it's still flesh. Flesh can be pretty awesome because you can do stuff. You know, you can get stuff done. You can cuss and, you know, do all this other stuff. You can manipulate people. Like David knows about that. When you're a salesman, if you do it the worldly way, you have to manipulate people, lie to them, take them out drinking, take them to, you know, certain kind of bars that are not good. You know, you got to do all that stuff to win them over so that you can sell them your stuff and make money. Same with Christianity. If you're a pastor, a real pastor, not like us, if you're a real pastor, then you got to manipulate the congregation so that they can get stuff done. You just have to. It's the way the world works. You got to lie to them. You got to make them feel guilty so they'll do stuff. So they'll mow the lawn, they'll do the children's church. Because next week when we have that meeting, I'm going to make you guys all feel guilty so that you can help. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that at all. But yeah, you got to be careful about that. Because the Bible is so clear. And Peter said, look, I'm a fellow elder. If you want to be an elder, a teacher, you can't lord it over to people. First of all, you can't lord it over to people. In other words, you're just exactly the way they are. You're not any better. You're not anything. You're just nothing. And you can't do it for money, so you can't get paid. You can get paid, but you don't have to or you don't need to. If you do it for filthy lucre or any other reason besides Jesus, then you failed. It doesn't matter how great you are. It doesn't matter if you're a ministry of 1 million people. It doesn't matter. You're evil. If you rape the sheep, if you use the sheep to enrich yourself, then that's evil. I remember a ministry. I had a friend of mine. His mother was a widow. And she was a great person. I loved her. But she's a prayer warrior, a really nice lady. But she lived in poverty, literally lived totally impoverished because she gave all of her money to the ministry. But when I read the Bible, I thought, well, they should be taking care of her. She's a widow. The Bible says take care of widows. And they're taking all of her money and she's living in poverty and she ended up dying. Well, that's evil. That is wicked to do that to a widow, to somebody like that. And then I read in the Bible that that's what they do. They creep into houses, to widows, and they take advantage of them, and they take their money. They take all their sustenance to live so that they can enrich themselves. So that's not good. So if you don't have that, then you're probably going to have, a small church. It won't be that big. Okay, here's the scripture I really wanted to read. So in Galatians chapter 4. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you were called. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong one. I was in Ephesians. But that was pretty awesome, wasn't it? Man, I'm just having all kinds of problems today. I need to get my mind renewed or something. Okay, chapter 4, verse of Galatians. But I say over so long a time as the heir is an infant, he being Lord of all does not differ from a slave, but is under guardians and housemasters until the term set before by the Father. So we also, when we were infants, we were under the elements of the world. Those are ordinances. That's law. Being enslaved. So you're enslaved to this world. You're enslaved to all the laws, the rudiments, the ordinances, the unspoken rules that you made for yourself. That could be anything. An element can be anything. Any kind of law. Like I said earlier, it could be your own law. I had a friend of mine one time, he goes, man, I'm not a very good Christian or anything, but I always keep my promises. Well, he just put himself under a law. Now he always keeps his promises, but if he doesn't keep it, then for whatever reason, because, things happen, then he's devastated, then he's not a good Christian, then he's defeated, and it's life's over. So if you just, trust the Lord, in his promises. God always keeps his promises. He is faithful. Even if you're not faithful, he remains faithful, the Bible says. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, having come out of a woman, having come under the law, that he might redeem the ones that are under the law. He wants to get you out from the law and get you under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. That's how you defeat sin. You don't defeat sin by keeping the law, by not sinning. I never could do that. I don't know about you, but I never could not sin. My wife can do that, but I can't. I'm like, Leah, I don't know how you do it. You're so disciplined, blah, blah, blah. How do you not sin? Well, she does, of course, but she has, you know, you can discipline yourself to be not sin, you know, you think you're not sinful. But I never was disciplined, so I never could do that. I never could figure out how people could not sin until I read the Bible. I thought, oh, yeah, that's different than trying not to sin or not trying to keep a law. I'm looking to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of my faith, and he has all the power. He has all the stuff that I need to do that. So I'm just going for mercy every day. I mean, I'm adamant about it, even to this day. First thing I do is I go to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So I'm immediately, before I drink coffee, before I have any breakfast or anything, I'm God, your mercies are new every morning. Thank you, God, because I need your mercy. I had a bad dream or something happened. I even sin in my sleep. So I have to have mercy every morning. And when I get his mercy, then my day is good because I have his mercy. His mercies are new every morning because you need that every morning. And then I shout on God the voice of victory. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. I'm happy. I'm joyful. Jesus is so awesome. I love him. I praise him. I thank him. For everything, I thank him. I literally thank God for everything I can think of. I thank him for my kids. That takes a long time because I have a lot of kids and a lot of grandchildren. I thank him for all them. I thank him for my mom and dad. And I have a lot of brothers and sisters. I have to thank him. Then Leah has a lot of brothers and sisters. So, you know, it's a lot of thanking. Thank you, God. Thank you for... Leah has five brothers and sisters, and they all have kids. And then it just gets... After a while, I'm just like, thank you for, that family and, all the kids. All those kids. I know their names, but I can't say them right now. There's too many of them. Thank God for my enemies. I thank God for all my enemies. I name them by name. You know, all the Democrats, all the Republicans. I thank God for all the evil people in the world, for all the good people that, everything. And then I'm at peace. Because I know that everything is going my way. I have favor with God and man. So I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I have total peace. I have righteousness because I confessed all my sins and they're all forgiven. He gave me a gift, his righteousness. I'm at peace. Peace that passes all understanding. So then I'm at peace. Then you have love and joy. You get everything. With Jesus Christ, he freely gives you all things. So then you have to test that out. And if you do it, it's not going to work out like the way you think. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those other things will be added to you, it doesn't work out like that, like you think it will. But after a while, it does. It works out. It's like, I don't know how, God, you do it. At first, it's a struggle because you're letting go of stuff. And when you let go of stuff that you have in complete control of, like your kids or like Shannon, she just graduated. She's 18 and she's got a new boyfriend and all that kind of stuff. So the guy, I had to talk to him and tell him. I'm always really rough with him too. It's kind of fun. So he wanted to ask her out on a date. So he goes, can I talk to you? Because, all my kids know they have to talk to me first because I'm the guy that, yay or nay. I do that kind of thing. I look at them and go, no. And some of them I had to reject. I mean, I had to reject them. Because, it's not Jesus. It has to be Jesus. So anyway, I talked to the guy. I like him. He's got a really unusual guy. He's half Italian and he's half African-American. Italian and half African-American. It's kind of weird, but right, it's a little strange, but anyway, he had an unbelievable, probably the roughest life. Jim had a pretty rough childhood and all that, but I did, all of us did probably. But this guy had the worst I've ever heard. I'm surprised he was still alive. He's been shot, he's been all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's just a miracle the guy's still alive. So I'm thinking this whole time he's telling me all this, I'm thinking, man, you're not going out with my daughter. You got so many problems. You got so much baggage. But then I asked him, I go, okay, so tell me about Jesus. Tell me about your conversion. So he did. And he had all, and he had the script, he had a few scriptures and stuff. I could tell he's not a very mature Christian and all that. But the guy, there's something real unique about the guy and how he's overcome all that. I mean, he was a Golden Glove boxer. And I didn't know this, but you know when people tease you, say these hands are registered lethal weapons? Mm-hmm. They literally are. I didn't know that. Do you know that, David? But his hands are actually really registered, because if he hits somebody or assaults somebody in public or whatever, then he's going to get arrested for assault with a deadly weapon, just like if he had a gun. I didn't know that. Wow. So when he says that, I was like, man, I thought that was just a joke or something. You know how they always say that? My hands are registered lethal weapons to intimidate somebody. So anyway, it was a really interesting conversation I had with him. And I really liked him a lot. I mean, he's a really neat kid. He's like a genius. He's got a full ride scholarship to SMU. He's just really smart. And at first, I didn't think he had much of a sense of humor, but then I got him to laugh a little bit. So, but I was asking him some pretty direct questions, like, okay, this is what we believe. Because I always had to tell him, this is what we believe. This is what the Bible says. You know, no fornication. No this, then I just go right down the line and I go, and if he can agree to that, then he has a chance. But if he doesn't, then he has no chance. But it has to be the right answer, because I remember when Lindsay also had another guy that liked her and he wanted to go out there, but he had all the wrong answers, so he didn't make the cut. Whether she liked him or not, it didn't matter. She didn't like him anyway, but he didn't make the cut. That's just what dads do. That's my number one job, is to make sure my kids have good spouses. And that's the only job I got. Other than that, it's all Leah's stuff. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that. Okay, where was I at? Okay. Verse 5, that we might redeem the ones under the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, daughters, God sent forth the Spirit into the Son, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you no more are a slave, but a son. And if a son, also an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, not knowing God, ye served as slaves to the ones not by nature being gods. So you're a slave. Unless you're under God, you're a slave. And Christians do it all the time. They skip Jesus, and then they're slaves. Once you skip Jesus, you'll just default. You'll go to being a slave of sin, a slave of legalism, a slave of the law, a slave to this world, a slave to money, a slave to people, relatives, children, spouses. You'll just default to that every time, every time. And so you have to repent of that. Father, forgive me that I made my wife an idol. Or God, forgive me that I made my kids idols. Or forgive me, God, that I made money an idol. Or idols are awful. They destroy your life. Or drugs or alcohol or whatever the thing is. Coffee. It can be anything. But now, knowing God, so you know, now that you know God, but rather being known by God, he knew you first. I love God because he first loved me. How do you turn again to the weak and poor elements? That's that word element. It's the same word, Greek word. It's the same Greek word. It's I wrote it down here. It's the same Greek words. It means to be. It means you're like you're setting things in order. It's kind of a strange word, because you would think it would be good. When you look at the word, you go, that's not bad. But it is bad. It's called rationalism. It's called religion. It's called legalism. It's called whatever you want to call it. That's how people live, because people are so stressed out. They have to put some kind of order in their life, so they make up their own rules and their own laws and their own idolatry, and they make up all kinds of stuff so that they can live, make it. Because people do drugs, they take pills. They play video games. They do anything to avoid their lives, the way things really are. But as Christians, you can't do that. You got to go just boldly to the throne of grace, and you throw all your trash. I do it every day. You take all your trash, all of it, every sin that so easily besets you, every sin, every one, and you give it to God. And you don't even try to fix it up. Don't even try to help God out. Just say, Jesus, here's all my sin. I repent. Here's all my sin right here. Just, you know, whatever. Lust, greed, fear, doubt, unbelief, man-pleaser, depression, whatever the sin is. You just throw it all out there onto God. And then you say, God, I can't help you. It's okay, because you're not going to help them anyway. You can't imagine in your heart you're going to help them. I don't ever help them. I just go, God, that's all my sin. I hate so-and-so. I just So every day I want to die. Every day I want to die to my own glory, my own awesomeness, my own power, my own strength, my own juices. And that's how I die. I die daily. That's how I die. I give everything to God. God, look at this. This is my flesh. You know, bleh, you just kind of spill it all out there on the table. And then God forgives all that. Then he kills it all. And you're dead. The old you is dead. And people hate that. Christians hate that. They hate to die because they don't want to be not them. They think the real them is drinking beer. They think the real them is having sex. They think the real them is whatever the sin is, or being awesome or something, or being glorious. But that's not the real you. The real you is Christ in you. You is the real you. And that's who you live. That's what you live. You live Christ in me, the hope of glory. If you want glory, everything you want, Jesus has it. Everything you're striving to have, Jesus already gave it to you for free. And you're still striving to have it because you want the glory for it. As a matter of like peace, people are hunting for peace. I mean, huge. That's a huge thing in this world. And God already gave it to you. Why would you need to have it? Why do you need to make a law about it, or to get it by drinking wine or whatever you do to get peace? Why do you need to do that when you already have it? You don't need to do that. You already have it. You have everything you need. You have peace. You have joy, unspeakable and full of glory, happiness. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You have everything you need, but you still want to get something because you don't think you have it, because you don't feel it. You don't think it, because you're trying to psychologize everything. Just take it. Just take it. It's there. God, thank you for giving me peace that passes all understanding. Thank you that I love my neighbor as myself. Thank you that I love God with all my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. I don't feel it. I don't think it. I'm just saying it. And that's how you begin every day. That's how you begin your Christian walk. You're just saying stuff. It's just all concepts and saying it out loud and doing it by faith. And later on, you might get some kind of inkling or feeling about it or whatever that means. But you might not. You just keep doing it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added. You just do it. And after a while, God, somehow you're actually doing it, being a Christian. And you don't even know how that happened. It happened because of Jesus. And that way you get no glory. And so you ever done that? I've done that before. I prayed and prayed for something. And I finally got it, and there was no glory in it. So there isn't. That's one thing that's neat about being a Christian is you don't get any. But since you don't get any glory, which you desperately want, God gets all the glory. To God be the glory. Amen. He gets all the glory. Then there's no pressure on you anymore. If you get the glory, I mean, athletes, you know, whatever genre you're in, homeschool people probably be in the debate or something, whatever thing you're into, ballet, whatever thing you're into, all of us, we're on to something. I was big basketball. But once you get that and you get the glory, then it's over. You know, my daughter did with all, she had like boxes and boxes of trophies for, you know, playing basketball. And She didn't have room for them, so she threw them all away. That's all of her glory. All of her glory just went in the trash. So that's just the way it is. After a while, the glory fades, and you're like, man, then you got nothing. When I was in high school, I'm just telling you, I went to a small Catholic school, about 600 students total. I think our class had 150, maybe, my graduating class. And I was top dog. I was a good basketball player. I dated the head cheerleader. I was awesome, I thought I was. And then I went to college. Well, college ate my lunch, because I went away to college and I knew nobody. The college I went to, none of my friends went there. I went there by myself. And I was like nothing. I went from being Joe Stud to a big dud. I was nothing. So my life was over. I would tell you, it was over. That moment I stepped on that campus at Southern Illinois University, my life was over. I wasn't a Christian or anything, but I knew my life. I knew I was nothing. This world was huge, and I was, and in it, I was a nothing. So then I had to deal with that for how many ever years until I became a Christian, and it was a long time. It was a long time of dying, being beat up, whatever was happening in my life, which was bad. Nothing good ever happened in college. And then all the way till the time I got saved, it was just me being a nothing. God reduced me to nothing. But he kept me. I don't know how I didn't get arrested or didn't get put in jail or not wasn't overdosed or dead or something. And he kept me all those years. And then I got saved. It was like, I couldn't believe it. I just was, like I told you before, I was just shocked, that happened, and that happened to me, and that God forgave me all my sins. I couldn't believe it. It's too good to be true. It's still, to this day, it's too good to be true. Anyway, there's tons of others. Maybe next time I teach, I'll remember the scriptures, and I'll remember where I was at. But just remember, it's tons of, but the word for our relationship with Jesus is promise. Everything we have is promise. God gave it to Abraham by promise. And he gives you everything by promise, so everything's a gift. And if it's a gift, then you don't have to work for it. You don't have to be interesting or be a super Christian or anything like that, or to be under. I tell you, the thing you need to do, all of us, is to get out from underneath the elements of the world. Because once you become a Christian, like the book of Galatians says, then you're free. Don't be in bondage again to the elements of this world, the biblical principles, the things that people want to put you in bondage so you're enslaved all over again. You can even be enslaved by the Bible. If you read it as letter, you can be enslaved by anything. Eating, a lot of people want to eat right and stuff, which is good. I'm not against that. I'm just saying sometimes it becomes such a burden to people that it's a burden. I mean, don't let anything be a burden to you. I don't want to be enslaved to anything except for Jesus. And the elements of this world, philosophy, psychology, the medical community, everything has been corrupted. Everything in this world is corrupt. Pharmaceutical industry, the medical community, the school system, everything, churches, everything's corrupt to the hilt. Everything in Uganda is corrupt, except for, Isaac and Abraham and Isaac. There's a father and son, they're named Abraham and Isaac. I thought that was pretty cool. Except for people that love Jesus. And if you got Jesus, you get all things. I can't emphasize that enough. If you get Jesus, you get all things. If you seek first the kingdom of God, you get all things. And if you don't, if you want Jesus plus something else, then you're corrupt. Then you'll corrupt yourself. You'll be a corrupt Christian. I want Jesus plus I want a good marriage. I want Jesus plus I want all my problems to be solved, or I want to be rich, or I want to be something. Well, that's not going to work. You will end up the thing that you want besides Jesus will end up being your downfall. I knew a guy, he's a good friend of mine. I got him a job working for the Basses. And he loved Jesus, I know he did, but he loved money too. He really loved money. So he stole. He was a security guard or a bodyguard, whatever, at the house, like I was at their house. And he stole like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of merchandise from the house, being a security guard. Because, you know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and I can take whatever I want. That's what he thought. But then he ended up getting into all kinds of sin. Once you do something like that, you get into, he got into prostitution, all kinds of wicked stuff. Because it's easy. We're so easily corrupted. Amen. Easily corrupted. And I know that myself, my own heart, that I'm that way. And I could be so easily corrupted. If I didn't pray all the time and read my Bible and spend time with Jesus, I would easily fall into all that corruption. Easily. That's right. And so I know that the only thing I'm hanging my hat on is Jesus better be real. And he better, and all of his promises better be yes and amen. If they're not, then I'm in trouble, right? And so are you. And all of his promises are yes and amen. They work to the hilt. I mean, they're better than you can even ask or think. So, Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, that in Jesus Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything we need is hidden in Jesus. All the righteousness we need, all the knowledge we need, all the wisdom we need. He gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Not just for eternal life later on, but also for this life. And Lord, thank you that even death itself has no victory because of Jesus. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you have eternal life and you will never, ever, 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 ever die. Never. We'll put off this flesh that's corruptible, but we will put on incorruptible. That's good. That's better. So we thank you for that. And we thank you, Father, for being so good to us, for loving us. Thank you for all your promises, God. All your promises are yes and amen. Thank you that all we need is Jesus. And with Jesus, you freely give us all things. So we don't have to worry about them. We don't have to be fearful, anxious. We just cast all of our cares on you because you care for us, all of them, every care. Care of our children, care of our spouses, care of our mothers and fathers, our relatives, our friends, Lord, our enemies, our jobs, everything I can think of, church, everything. We give it to you, God, and we say, you can do it, because we can't. We have no ability. All we do is worry. Worry does not do anything. It's evil. So we give it all to you, and we thank you, Father, for taking care of all those things, and we just keep our eyes on Jesus. And we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and praise you. Thank you for healing Dean and for taking care of him, for giving him eternal life. In Jesus' name, we thank you for taking care of our church. Take care of Louise, Father. Thank you that she is totally, 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 totally healed and that she is taken care of because Jesus loves her. He's going to do it. And thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for bringing Pastor Jim home safely, and thank you for taking care of all the people, our members that aren't here, Lord, that we love dearly. We thank you, Father God, that you watch over them, keep them in all their ways. And God, that you speak to them and bless them. And bless the people here today, Father God, this congregation. Thank you, Father God, that you give them peace, 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 peace that passes all understanding, and joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is a gift, just because that's who you are, God. You're the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift comes from heaven. It doesn't come from this earth. It comes from heaven. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.